Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. For an hour of comedy, later on we'll hear the Jack Benny Show from 1943, but first, the Edgar Bergen or Charlie McCarthy Show from April 1st, 1945 on NBC with special guest actress Linda Darnell.
The makers of Royal Puddings and Chase and Sanborn Coffee bring you the Charlie McCarthy Show. This is Ken Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you from Whittier, California. On behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Vita Gordon, Mortimer Snerd, Pat Patrick as Ursula Twing, and our special guest, Linda Darnell. And here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, thank you, you lovely Whittierites, you. It's a pleasure to be here. Smile, Bergen. What's the trouble with you?
Charlie, I'm sore all over.
Well, now what have I done?
Oh, it's not you. I should have known better than to play football with your gang.
Yeah?
Look at my eye and my head.
Look like you ran into a revolving haymaker.
Tell me, Charlie, does my black eye, does it look bad?
No, Bergie. It seems to put color in your face.
I did.
Wait till I tell Noble about this. All right.
Now, Charlie, please, now. Could you make an effort to keep this a secret?
Well, you might try gagging me with a dollar bill.
No.
What did you want, Charlie? Oh, Edgar, why are you limping?
Well, he put all his money in one shoe.
Why I am limping, Ray, is my business.
Well, from the looks of you, old boy, you must be in a frightfully horrid business.
Yeah. Well, I had a little accident.
I should say, look at that bump on your head.
Yes, who knows? I may have injured my brain.
I wouldn't worry about a little thing like that.
I say, hey, girl, boy, aren't you using just a bit too much eyeshadow, you know?
Ray, yeah. That happens to be a black eye.
Yes. Just gracious, yes, I can see it is. Did you try putting a beefsteak on it?
Yes, I did, yes. I got a dollar's worth of beefsteak at the butcher shop.
You did? Where is it?
It's under his eyelid.
But, Edgar, you still haven't told me what happened to you.
Well, I was playing football with Charlie's pals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pals, the little gangsters.
I say, Edgar, isn't that a little bit ridiculous for you, I mean?
Well, of course, I'm not as young as I used to be.
Oh, and you never were, Edgar.
Oh, come on, Charlie, let him have his fun. After all, he's only old once.
Well, I will say one thing for myself. I was game. I tried.
Yes, I'll say that for you. What you lack in muscle, you make up for in flabbiness.
Yeah. But you know, Edgar, seriously, years ago, I used to play quite a bit of football.
You did?
Oh, yes. Oh, once I made an 80-yard run.
Well, now, that's good.
Oh, yes. I crossed the 50-yard line and the 30-yard line and then crossed the goal.
Well, good for you. That must have made a hero out of you, didn't it?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
The only thing was that the referee was a stickler for detail, you know.
The referee?
Yes.
I see. What did he object to?
Well, it seems that I'd neglected to take the ball with me.
Oh, I see. Well, we all make mistakes.
After all, it's only a game. I thought
it was perfectly ridiculous. Yes. Well, I've had my troubles too, you know. You know, some ruffian grabbed the seat of my pants and tore them.
Ah, good old Bergen, I knew you'd come through.
Yeah. But I kept right on going to make a touchdown, and suddenly everything went black.
Especially your eye.
Yeah. You know, I turned my ankle and tripped on my foot.
You were a victim of self-tackleization.
Yeah, then they all tackled me. Tell me, Charlie, what happened to my neck?
Well, Skinny Dugan mistook your head for the ball.
Oh, I started running with my head.
Yeah.
I see.
He must have let it snap back too hard. You were certainly a mess, Bergen.
Well, didn't you tell the kids, Charlie, to go easy on me, you know, that I would treat them all to sodas if they would?
Yeah, I told them.
Well, then why did they pile up on me that way? They had both my arms crossed behind me.
Well, we call that the double wingback.
I see.
I never saw a guy wrapped up in himself like you were. And out cold, too.
Yeah. How did you revive me?
Well, we held you up by your feet.
I see.
Yeah. With very good results, too.
I see.
Yeah.
That brought me two.
No, but it brought us $3.
I see.
And I think it was the jingle that woke you up.
Oh, I see. Well, what happened then? Did you finish the game?
No, we all turned pro.
Turned pro?
Yeah. We accepted your money and brought sodas that you promised us.
I see. You. Well, look who's here. It's Mortimer.
Oh, shucks. Do you have to remind me? Oh. Beg my pardon. Yeah.
I didn't see you come in. Where did you spring from?
What?
I say, where did you spring from?
Well, I ain't sprung.
You ain't sprung. Oh.
I just look that way.
Oh, I see.
Oh. Ain't that disgusting?
Yeah, I believe you have the hiccups.
Well, either that or I've been breathing with jerk propulsion.
Yeah.
I feel like I swallowed a boomerang. Yeah.
Well, don't worry. Hiccuping is just the sudden arrest of one's breathing by a momentary spasmodic contraction of the diaphragm. And simultaneous contraction of the glottis.
So that's what it is. Oh. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, it's mainly the action of your diaphragm.
Mm.
Diaphragm.
My frying pan?
No, not your frying pan.
What's a
diaphragm?
Yeah.
Well, what do you have between your stomach and your chest?
A mole.
No. No, Mortimer. I'm talking about your diaphragm.
Oh, that thing, yeah. Diaphragm.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks. I ain't worn none of them since I was a baby.
No, diaphragm.
No. Excuse me.
Have you tried any of the usual cures?
Yeah, I buried an old dead cat at high midnight.
At high midnight? Yeah. Now, how do you think that can cure hiccuping?
No, I don't know. There's tricks to every trade, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, is that all you've tried?
Well, Charlie told me to fill my mouth with water.
With water?
Yeah. And sit on a stove till it boiled. I didn't think much of that, though.
Well, one well-known cure for hiccups is to stick out your tongue. Stick it out as far as you can.
Yeah?
Now you try sticking out your tongue.
Well, any special direction?
No. Now, go ahead, Mortimer. Stick out your tongue.
Which end?
Oh, there. And maybe holding your breath while counting would get better results.
It would, huh?
Yeah. Now, you look into my eyes.
No, I'm looking in your eyes now, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll count 10.
Well, you've only got two of them.
Ah.
You can't count more than, never mind.
You know, the surest way to stop hiccups is by scaring a person. Now, you've heard of that.
Scaring a person?
Yes, that's a very good way.
Yeah?
Yes.
All right. Boo!
No. No, Mortimer. You're the one who's supposed to be frightened by some horrible or gruesome thing.
Oh, I'm the one.
Yes. Use your brains, or what will all these people think of you?
What people?
Why, the audience out there.
Have we got an audience out there?
Well, sure. Well, look at them out there.
Where?
Oh, there. People out there. Why, Mortimer, you're frightened by these nice-looking people. Mortimer, your stupidity is beyond comprehension.
Beyond where?
Beyond comprehension.
Well, how did you get way over there? Just...
I don't know. Charlie, Linda Darnell is going to drop in and see us today.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
Oh, I just can't wait to welcome Linda with open arms.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be quite so informal, Charlie. After all, she has just starred in Forever Amber.
Well, I'll be satisfied if she just stays forever Linda.
I heard what you said, Charlie.
Oh, did you? Ooh, Miss Linda Darnell.
Miss Darnell, we are all slaves to your beauty, and I bow low in tribute before such charm.
Oh,
Charlie, will you help me up?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, he tried.
Yes.
Well, I thank you for those very pretty words, and in return for your lovely reception, I bring a gift for Charlie.
Oh, goody, 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 goody. Let me pucker up and close my eyes.
Oh, no, Charlie, it isn't a kiss.
Aw. Well, at least fan me, though, with those long eyelashes.
What is in the box, Linda?
Well, Edgar, this being Columbus Day, I brought Charlie a globe of the world.
A globe of the world. Oh, it is just what I needed. Well, maybe it ain't, but it sounds nice.
That's a very appropriate gift, Linda. The fact that the world is round is accepted as a matter of course today. But Columbus proved this to be true with the most daring voyage of all time.
Where'd he go? What'd he do? What'd he do? What'd he
well,
do?
You see, Charlie, since boyhood, Columbus had followed the sea.
Did he ever catch up with it?
No. He sat on the shores day after day.
He was a bum.
Now, wait.
Charlie. No, Charlie. You see, he was watching the boats going out to sea and kept wondering why the boats seemed to sink over the horizon.
Well, maybe the bottom fell out.
No.
Maybe he ran into a water pocket. Maybe the ocean wasn't level.
All right, please.
Well, I'm trying, gee whiz.
All right, yes. No, the conclusion he came to was that the world was round. And if he kept sailing in one direction, he'd circle the globe.
And this theory is known as the Columbus Circle.
Oh, now, please.
I still say the guy's a bum.
All right. Columbus thought he could find a shorter route to the Spice Islands.
Oh, I seen him on bum.
Oh.
Now sings the beautiful new ballad, You Do.
Who knows how much I love you, you do. No one means more to me than you do. You take December. Smile it into May, and then December comes back again when you're away. Who has a charm that very few do? Who makes life necessary? You do. And who can take my dreams and make my dreams come true?
beautiful, Anita, very beautiful. But whatever happened to Columbus?
Well, when he sent a note to the Queen, and one morning, as King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella sat reading through the morning mail, while enjoying their breakfast, the King said,
"Oh, dear, dear.
What irks you, Your Majesty?"
"Oh, it's this breakfast cereal I'm eating. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't crunch. It doesn't snap." "I tell you, the silence is driving me mad."
"Well, tell me, what do you find so absorbing in the Morning Gazette?"
"Well, I'm simply trying to find out if Dick Tracy got away from the Arabs yet."
"Oh, sire, there's a creditor here from the Candleworks regarding your light bill." "Oh, bills. That settles it. We've just got to get a bigger wastebasket."
"That reminds me, Linda Bella, yes, I've just been reading a letter from an explorer chap named Columbus or something. Thinks the world is round. No doubt a little touched in the head."
"Oh, a relative of yours, dear?"
"No, dear, but he takes from the same psychiatrist I do. He wants us to give him some ships so he can prove the world is round."
"Why, that sounds rather exciting. Why don't we give him the ships?"
"I say no. No, no!"
"Stop trying to act like Molotov."
"Excuse me, Your Majesty. I was just wondering whether I could yawn you here for a little smorgasbord board."
"Oh, yes, Admiral Swenson, you're just the very man I want to see. There's a Mr. Christopher Columbus who wants us to give him some ships to sail around the world. Now, what do you think?"
"Well, I think that this Herr Christopher is a screwball. And will end up in Davy Jensen's locker."
"Well, he's asking for three ships."
"Well, I see nothing to justify this Herr Junket. The Yerk will just be flotsam going somewhere to Yetsam."
"Admiral, why do you think he will meet with disaster?"
"Well, because of the sea serpents and that they're monster."
"Monster?"
"Yes, dear. Oh, I thought you called me him."
"One hears a great deal about these monsters. When is the best time to see them?"
"Well, usually right after the cocktail hour."
"You're not afraid of them, are you, Admiral?"
"Well, no. I would go myself, Queenie. Only I have a little trouble with my compass."
"Also with your dialect."
"Yeah."
"Oh, this Christopher Columbus fascinates me. Show him in."
Yeah, this will be amusing, this yibber-yabber. I must stay and enjoy it."
"Oh, no. I wish to talk to him alone."
"Aha. Yes, so that's how this is there. Aha. Well, I go now. Hello."
"Hey, Tank, I'll join you. Hello."
"Your Majesty, announcing his explorer ship, Christopher Columbus."
"Greetings. I am Christopher Columbus."
"And I am Her Not-So-Highness, Queen Linda Bella."
"How come Her Not-So-Highness?"
"Some crumb sawed off the legs of my throne."
"Oh, Queen. Well, they can't all be good." "If you finance my expedition, I'll prove that the world is as round as your pretty little head. And I'll bring you precious gems that sparkle like your eyes."
"Oh, Columbus, tell me more."
"Oh, Queenie, give me the money, will you?"
"Well, I'd like to, Chris, but I haven't got any money."
"Well, Queen, did you look? Are you sure you haven't got a few thousand tucked away in your stocking?" "Oh,
of course not."
"Well, let's just look to make sure."
"Oh, no. No, I have no money."
"Well, you could have if you melted down that heavy old gold crown of yours."
"Well, I couldn't do that, but I do have some crown jewels here in this chest. Now, let me see."
"Yeah, let's look them up.
I could let you have this ruby."
All right.
"And this pearl." "Mm-hmm. And this emerald."
"Win, place, and show." "Oh, Your Majesty, you You are so kind.
Is that enough?
Well, that will buy one ship.
Oh, you need more?
Well, yes, but I just couldn't impose on you.
Well, force yourself.
Putty, putty, putty. You have the radiance of a sunset and the fresh, delicate beauty of a rose, sopping wet with morning dew.
Oh, Chris.
Oh, well, thank you, another vessel. Queen, may I kiss you?
Well, you might as well. History will never believe it any other way.
Yes. Yeah. Her up, Queenie. I hit the jackpot. Well, here's the fleet.
Crown.
I do.
Crown.
Yeah.
Amigos.
Yeah. Oh.
My name is Crown. My
yeah.
name is. My name is Ursel Twing, and I'm a ship salesman.
Yeah.
And I have a rig, yawls, sloops, and some double ginger peachy schooners with genuine inlaid barnacles.
Do you have a sail on ships?
Well, yes and no. You see, I do not exactly have a sail on ships, but I do have some ships with sails on them.
Well, she means, do you have any bargains?
Well, I have one that was owned by an old lady, but she never used it very much.
Well, does she handle well?
How's that?
Does she handle well?
Well, yes, if you keep her nose to the wind.
The what?
Who, the old lady?
No, the boat. Well, she's really more of a sloop than a catch.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, tell me, is the old lady a good catch?
Is the old... do you want... are you... For goodness sake, my gosh, is she? Why, she owns three breweries and a grape ranch.
Then why don't you catch her?
Well, I tried to, but I got into all kinds of trouble. I gave her a ring of rubies, and Ruby found it out.
Oh.
Well, you will go out of your way to give him a good deal, won't you?
Oh, yes. Why, I'll bend over backwards.
You will.
Well, no, I won't exactly bend over backwards either because, you see, I have a slipped-up sacroiliac.
Yeah. Looks like your face is a little out of joint, too, there.
Well, if you're... Oh, that's very smart, but if you're going to take that attitude, you can just go paddle your own canoe and all the way to America, too. Goodbye,
Be sure and listen in next Sunday when our guest will be Lily Pons. This is on L, as you can be seen in the LS Annex 20th Century Fox Technicolor production, Forever Amber. This is Ken Carpenter speaking to you from Whittier Union High School, Whittier, California.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Charlie McCarthy Show on Tuned to Yesterday from April Fool's Day, 1945 on NBC. The same year that Linda Darnell was starring in two motion pictures, The Great John L. and director Otto Preminger's noir Fallen Angel, alongside Dana Andrews and Alice Faye, no stranger to radio with the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levinier, and now we'll hear Alice Faye's husband, Phil Harris, as bandleader on the Jack Benny program. This NBC episode from December 19, 1943, keeping with Jack Benny's great tradition on his program of the Christmas shopping episode. And this is certainly it, with co-stars Mary Livingston, Don Wilson, Eddie Rochester Anderson, Dennis Day, and Frank Nelson.
The Grape Nuts and Grape Nuts Flakes program, starring Jack Benny. With Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Mary Livingston has been off the show for 3 weeks because of laryngitis. So now that she is fully recovered, we take her to her house where we find Mary and her maid, Butterfly.
Gee, Miss Livingston, you sure have pretty hair.
Well, thank you, Butterfly. Ouch. Be careful with the comb you're pulling.
Oh, excuse me. Say, Miss Livingston, was your hair always this color?
Of course. I never bleach my hair.
Neither do I.
Well, Well, I'm glad you told me. Now, Butterfly, comb the ends into a roll.
Yes, ma'am. You know what, Miss Livingston?
What?
I think your hair is even prettier than Mr. Benny's.
Oh, Butterfly, you're just saying that. Anyway, you've never been close enough to Mr. Benny's hair to appreciate its beauty.
Oh, yes, I have. Yesterday, I was over to Mr. Benny's house.
Oh.
He wasn't home, so Uncle Rochester showed it to me.
Your Uncle Rochester has no right to open Mr. Benny's safe. Now, Butterfly, will you get my blue dress out of the closet, please? Never mind. You answer the door. I'll get the dress myself.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to buy a paper doll that I can call my own, a doll that other fellows cannot steal.
Hello, Butterfly.
Come right in, Mr. Benny. May I take your hat?
Yes, thanks. Here's my coat.
Yes, sir. Shall I take your shawl, too?
That's a muffler. Here. Now, Butterfly, will you tell Miss... Oh, here she is.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Mary. Gee, you're looking swell, and your voice sounds okay, too.
Thanks. I feel fine now.
That's good. Say, Mary, I brought you a box of candy. Over 100 pieces in it. Here you are.
Oh, thanks, Jack. Just the kind I like. Sen-sen.
Well, I'm glad you do. You know, it cost me extra to have it wrapped as a gift, you know.
Oh, Jack, you're so nice.
I know. But maybe I shouldn't have given it to you now. It'll make your Christmas present look like nothing.
Well, let's not worry about that now. Come on, we'll go into the living room.
All right. Is there a fire in the fireplace?
No, but we can build one.
Okay.
Gee, I haven't had a fire in here since I've been sick.
Well, there's nothing as homey as a fireplace with a cheery blaze. Here goes. First, a little paper. And throw on some kindling. And now for a log. There must be a smaller log around here somewhere. Let's see. Thanks, Mary. Hey, look. Look, that log came from the tree that used to be in your backyard.
Yes, I know.
Gosh, Mary, look what it says on it. I love Jack Benny. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, I remember the night you carved it there.
Yeah, it was so romantic. I'll never forget that night if I live to be 40.
Jack, if you...
Don't answer that. I know what you were...
I'll take it. Hello? Plainfield, New Jersey calling? Yes, I'll hold on. Oh, Jack, it must be Mama.
Oh, is she out on parole again?
Jack, you ought to be ashamed of you. Hello? Oh, hello, Mama. Yes, I'm feeling fine now. That's right. I was off the program for 3 weeks. What? Oh, don't worry. Jack's going to pay me. He will pay me. Oh, Mama, he is not. And where'd you ever hear a word like that? That's what Papa calls you?
Mary, tell your mother.
Quiet, Jack. No. Say, Mama, did you get the packages I sent? Good. But I don't want either you or Papa to open those presents till Christmas. What? Papa couldn't wait. He did. Well, Mama, call a doctor. That was shaving lotion.
Mary, what was that word your mother called me?
It starts with an L.
Oh, L.
Say, Mama, tell me, what's happened to the home lately?
L. Could be liar, louse. Louse isn't so bad, is it?
What? What, Mama? Cousin Harry was made a sergeant? Oh, that's too bad.
What's bad about it?
Last week he was a lieutenant.
Oh.
Yes, Mama, that was Jack's voice.
L.
Yes, he's sitting right here beside me.
L.
Mama, stop it.
What's the matter?
You can drop the L and start working on D. Say, Mama, what are you and Papa doing tonight?
D, dope, done.
Oh, you expect company, so you're making a fire in the living room?
Dumbbell, that starts with a D.
But, Mama, you haven't got a fireplace in the living room. Oh, there's a hole in the rug and you wanted to cover it up with something.
Mary, hang up, will
you? Well, Mama, I think I better... just a second, operator. Mama, give my love to... Oh, darn it, we were cut off. Oh, operator, why did you... I don't care if my mother does drive you nuts. It's none of your business.
You see, Mary, you see, I'm not the only one that's allergic to your mother.
Oh, Jack, Mama's only kidding. She doesn't mean half the things she says.
She does, too. I never saw a woman like that. She's always hounding me.
She doesn't hound you.
Well, she's got the face for it. And let me tell you another thing. Your mother takes delight in aggravating me. Every time she calls me up, she cans me. And I never say anything about her.
Well, you ought to be. Every time we talk about my mother, we get into an argument.
You're right, Mary. We shouldn't argue. Let's kiss and make up.
Okay.
Now, how is that?
Let's argue.
Oh, yeah? That was all right, and you know it. Now, straighten your lipstick.
Oh, you and your wet lips. Every time you kiss me, you're scared.
Now, what do you want me to do, have them retreaded? I skid. You can't say one nice thing. There's someone at the door.
That's all right. Butterfly will get it.
You can't say one thing without trying to be funny.
Oh, Jack, you take everything so seriously. Where's your sense of humor?
Sense of humor? Listen, Mary, you have no regard for my feelings. And in the first place...
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Dennis. In the first place, I only came here to visit...
Hello, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Dennis.
I only came here to cheer you up because you've been ill.
Well, this is a fine way to do it. Just because I pull a gag on you once in a while, you hit the ceiling.
I hit the ceiling?
What's going on here?
Look, Mary, when you had laryngitis, I was a constant visitor. I'm the best friend you ever had.
Do you mind if I sit down?
No, go ahead.
No, sit down, Dennis.
You know, Mary, I even brought you a box of candy, and what thanks do I get?
What do you expect for a box of cents, and a kiss for every piece?
No, Mary, but the least you can do is show your appreciation.
Oh, you're having an argument.
Dennis, why don't you please be quiet?
Gee, everywhere I go, there's an argument.
Oh, where have you been, Dennis?
Home.
Now, Mary, as far as I'm concerned...
At my house, it's louder.
Dennis.
They ought to be breaking it up by now.
The argument?
No, the house.
Dennis, we're not having a fight. It was just a little misunderstanding, that's all. Now, Mary, let's not argue in front of the kid.
You're right, Jack, and especially about such a silly thing. I'm a dope.
Well, I'm a dope, too.
You want to know something?
What?
It's nothing to be ashamed of.
You should know.
Thanks. Well, I guess I'll run along now.
Wait a minute, Dennis. What'd you come over here for?
Oh, I forgot. I came over to visit Miss Livingston.
You did? Well, sit down and stay a while.
Okay. Well, guess I'll run along now.
Dennis, you just got here. What's that package under your arm?
Oh, I made a record of a song and I wanted Miss Livingston to hear it.
Well, that's fine. We'll play it later. Oh, Butterfly, see who's at the door.
Yes, Miss Livingston.
Oh, it must be Rochester. There's my new car out in front.
That yellow one? Why, it looks like a taxi cab.
Well, it was, Mary, but it's the only thing I could get. Anyway, I converted it strictly to private use.
Oh.
If it weren't for the color, no one would know it used to be a taxi. Oh, hello, Rochester.
Hello, boss. You better hurry. The meter's running.
Well, turn it off, silly. It's only us.
Why, Jack, if you're using that taxi for your own private use, why do you have a meter on it?
He never knows when he's going to give a friend a lift.
Well, Rochester, it pays to be nice.
It pays him.
Oh, that's not the reason at all. Anyway, Mary, it's not a bad car, is it?
It looks all right.
It rides smoothly, too.
Yes, sir.
Did you ride in it, Dennis?
30 cents worth.
Dennis.
That's my raise. $5 worth of free rides a week.
Listen, kid, I give you those rides because... I give you those rides because I like you. I'm not in business with that taxi. I don't haul people around.
Oh, boss, come now.
Rochester, I told you, I only give my friends a lift home.
What's so funny, Rochester?
All of his friends have trunks and live at the Union Station.
Rochester, stop making things up. And you better hurry or we'll be late for the super team. I mean, stop mixing me up.
I know what you mean, boss, but we got to go Christmas shopping.
Oh, that's right. Let's get going. I want to do my shopping while the stores are still loaded with stuff. So let's...
Oh, Butterfly. Butterfly, there's someone at the door. Butterfly, where are you? Oh, well, I'll answer it myself. Well, of all people.
I locked myself out.
Well, come in, Butterfly, and get Mr. Benny's things. He's leaving.
I got him. Never mind. Come on, Rochester. Let's go. So long, Mary.
Goodbye, Miss Livingston.
Goodbye. I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that others... Oh, Dennis, I forgot you were still here.
Yeah, I just put my record on the phonograph. Would you like to hear it, Miss Livingston?
Yeah, I would. Go ahead and play it.
Okay. Say, Miss Livingston, would you like to... Oh, well.
What, Dennis?
Never mind. Let's sit this one out.
Yes, I'd rather just listen to it.
Speak love. When you speak love, our summer day withers away too soon, speak long. When you speak long, our moment is swift, like ships adrift, we're swept apart too soon, speak long. Speak low. Love is a spark lost in the dark. Too soon, I feel wherever I go that tomorrow is near, tomorrow is here, and always too soon. Love so brief. Love. everything end. Too soon, too soon, I wait. Darling, I wait. Will you speak love to me, speak love to me, and soon? Will you speak love to me, speak love?
Rochester, Rochester, don't turn the corner so fast.
Don't worry, boss, these taxicabs can really take it.
Rochester, I've told you 1,000 times this is my own private car now. It's not a taxi. Anyway, I'm going to have the color change. It's getting to be ridiculous. Rochester, you're coming to a red light. Watch it.
I see it, boss.
Hey, Bud, mind if I share this cab with you?
I'm sorry, mister, but this ain't no...
Driver, no one's asking you. certainly, mister. Hop right in.
Okay. Maple Avenue, driver.
Nice day, isn't it?
Yeah. How far are you going, buddy?
Oh, I'm going much further than Maple Avenue. So you pay me and I'll pay the driver. That'll save time.
I wish he'd step on it. I'm in a hurry to get home.
You are?
Yeah. I don't want to miss the Fred Allen program.
What? There.
Gosh, boss, how could you reach the brake from the back seat?
Never mind. This is where you get out, mister.
Why? What happened? What did I say?
Get out. Get out.
You can't put me out of this cab. Hey, driver.
I'm sorry, mister, but you'll have to get out.
Oh, I do, hey? Well, my name is Brown, and I'm going to report you to the president of this company.
Mr. Brown, you may not know it, but you were thrown out by the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and star of stage, screen, and taxicab.
That's telling them, Rochester. Let's go. Sure is crowded in the store. I wish I'd have done my Christmas shopping early like I did last year. You going to buy any gifts in here, Rochester?
No, I already did my shopping.
You did? Where?
At Saks Central Avenue.
Now, let's see. I want to get something for my girl, Gladys Zabisco. But I don't know what.
Why don't you ask the floor walker?
Yeah. Oh, mister. Mister, are you the floor walker?
If I'm asked that question again, I'm going to smash somebody right over the head.
What are you mad about? I just asked you if you were the floor walker.
You see this carnation in my lapel?
Yes.
Well, what do you think I am, a long stem?
Oh, then you are the floor walker.
Of course. I'm not rugged enough to be a customer. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, I'm interested in something for my girlfriend. What would you suggest?
Well, what does your girl look like?
Well, she's kind of thin and scrawny, and her hair's sort of stringy. But she really has a nice personality. She has a little turned-up nose, and she has 2 ears. And they,
Well, everybody's got 2 ears.
On the same side?
Rochester. That's the way she combs her hair. It's a large bun.
Well, I don't know what to suggest. Why don't you try our harness shop?
Oh, don't be so smart. Come on, Rochester, I'll find things myself. Let's go over to this counter here. Pardon me, miss. Is this the perfume department?
No, this is the cold cream counter. Can I smear something on you?
No, thanks. I'm not interested in cold cream.
You know, we're short of help, so they split my week between cold cream and hot water bottles.
Oh.
3 days a week I'm greasy, and the other three I'm overheated.
Well, I feel sorry for you.
You know, for 20 years I was behind the perfume counter. Nothing but perfume for 20 years. Perfume, perfume, perfume.
Well, that's too bad, Miss...
Just call me Stinky.
Well, look, miss, I have to buy something for,
Hey, boss, look. Here comes Mr. Harris.
Where? Oh, yeah. Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson.
Hello, Chester.
Hello, Mr. Harris.
Doing a little shopping, Phil?
No, I came out here to see Don Wilson.
Don Wilson?
Yeah, he's playing Santa Claus here this year.
No kidding. Well, how'd he get the job?
It wasn't easy. He had to take off 20 pounds.
Gee, can you imagine Don being Santa Claus and talking to all the little kids, telling them about... Hey, wait a minute. Have I got a wonderful idea?
What is it, Jackson?
Let's pull a gag on Wilson. Now, Phil, you go over to the boys' department and get dressed up like a little kid.
Yeah?
And I'll go down to the women's ready-to-wear and dress up like a woman. See, I'll be your mother.
Okay, and I'll be the mean widow kid.
Boy, will we fool Don. Rochester, wait for me out in the car. And Phil, I'll meet you in front of the toy department.
Okay.
Gee, I wish Jackson would hurry up. I feel like a dope standing here dressed up like a little kid. Oh, boy, look what Jackson's missing. Hiya, babe.
Shut up, it's me. Now, come on, let's fool Don. Come on, we'll go and fool Wilson. Remember, I'm your mother.
Now, gather round, children, gather round, and I want to talk to each one of you in turn. Now, let me see. Who's next?
My little son is Santa Claus.
Oh.
My little son is Santa Claus.
All right, madam. Now, where is your little boy?
Now, where is he? Oh, Clearwater. Clearwater.
Doody-doody, Santa Claus. Doody-doody, Santa. Here I is, Mommy.
Isn't he a darling?
Yes, he's a cute little rascal.
Now, Clearwater, tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas. Go ahead, don't be bad.
No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Now, Clearwater clap saddle. Tell Santa what you want.
No, I don't want to do it.
Clearwater, take your foot out of your mouth. There, now the other one. That's better.
Now, little boy, tell Santa what you want for Christmas.
I want some Dreadnought flakes.
Dreadnought flakes?
Yes, my mommy and my dad, Woody, tells me that they're toasty brown and they're sweet as a nut.
That's right, my smart little man. And they're a whole grain cereal.
You're absolutely right, Santa. Oh, how cute. Look at that nice little boy sitting on Santa Claus's lap. Such pretty golden curls he's got.
Yes, that little boy happens to be mine.
I'm not talking to you.
Now tell me, Sonny, wouldn't you like to have a bicycle?
No, I want a Grape Nut Flakes because they're delicious, nutritious, and not rationed.
That's right, and what else?
Well, there are basic seven foods, the kind of food my dad would eat, wants me to eat more of.
Well, well, well. You certainly are a good little boy. You should be proud of him, Mrs. Clapsaddle.
Oh, I am. Now, Clearwater. Clearwater. Say goodbye to Santa Claus.
Goodbye, Santa Claus.
Goodbye, Santa Claus.
Goodbye, Phil. So long, Jack.
Oh, darn it. He knew it. He knew it all the time.
What are we going to do now, Mommy dear?
Oh, shut up, you little jerk. Come on, let's get out of here. Well, Well, folks, that finishes another program, and we'll be back with you next Sunday night at the same time. Meanwhile, my cast and I want to send Christmas greetings to all of you. To all of you here at home and to all of our boys and girls in the service here and abroad. Good night, everybody.
The Jack Benny Program on Tuned to Yesterday, going Christmas shopping on December 19th, 1943, heard on the NBC Red Network, an annual tradition for the Jack Benny Show on radio and also on his television specials. That wraps this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. It's been a pleasure.